This week, we will welcome the children of the 44th President of the United States back to the land of their ancestors. It's something that we kind of like to do, welcome back Presidents of the United States and their children. And you can tell by the reception we gave this month, 50 years ago, to another Irish-American President.
Prime Minister, members of the Parliament, I'm grateful for your welcome and for that of your countrymen.
Well, it sounds like Joe Quimby from The Simpsons, but I think that's who he's based on. But it brings a tear to your eye. John Fitzgerald Kennedy arrived in Ireland to a rapturous reception in June 1963. And as you might imagine, a lot of planning went into every single detail of the trip, right down to what he had for breakfast. Today we're going to look at what he had for dinner. I can tell you with some authority that it was smoked salmon, beef and strawberries and cream. Beef, actually, comma, and strawberries and cream, which was also what a more recent visitor had for her dinner when she came in 2011. Remember this?
Prince Philip and I are delighted to be here and to experience at first hand Ireland's world-famous hospitality.
Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth II there. She will be reading the Nuacht at 4 or 5 o'clock soon enough. Elaine Mahan is an expert on Irish diplomatic dining since the inception of the state, and she's come in today to tell us more. Elaine, you're just finished a dissertation, Eating for Ireland, is it?
Yes, that's right. I've just completed a BA in Culinary Arts in DIT in Galbraith Street, and we had to do a dissertation as part of our fourth year.
So what's the full title of the dissertation? It's not just Eating for Ireland, is it?
No, it's Eating for Ireland, an investigation into Ireland's diplomatic dining since the inception of the state.
So a catchy title, but unbelievably interesting. So you looked at, what did you look at you can't just look at every single state dinner, but you, what, look at the two or three biggest ones?
That's it, yeah. I started from 1921, the inception of the state, and I had a look over the last 100, near 100 years to see which were the three biggest symbolic events that were held in Ireland, where we hosted visiting dignitaries. And I looked at 1932, the Eucharistic Congress, the visit of JFK, and then more recently, 2011, the visit of Queen Elizabeth, yeah.
So what was the Eucharistic Congress? What was that like? Was that, I mean, we weren't long after the foundation of the state, so was it a bit of a simpler affair that hadn't got all the protocols in place?
Well, they wouldn't all have been in place at that time, though we were working really hard on putting them all together, but it was deemed at the time as the most important event to date in 1932, and the preparations went on for about 2 years before it actually... before Cardinal Lowry visited, yeah, absolutely.
How many people were at it?
Well, there was an awful lot of people travelled from around the world to Dublin to be a part of it. But at the actual event that I looked at, which was the state reception in Dublin Castle, there was about 3,000 people attended. And there was a buffet supper which was held on the day, and that was organised by the Department of External Affairs and coordinated with the church and with the committee that had been set up to put it together.
And what did they eat?
They had a buffet, in fact.
Just finger food?
Yeah, they actually passed. There was a procession. They were presented to the cardinal, to the archbishop, etc. And it was all quite orchestrated. And once they had been presented, they passed through into the dining room, and there was a buffet supper laid out for them.
Okay, so that's kind of like the starter for our little item on food. It's 1932, they have a little finger food. JFK's visit is the main
big
course.
Deal. Yeah.
What did JFK have for dinner?
Well, he had beef. He had tunnado, so he had Irish beef. And the preparations for that too started quite some time in advance as well. There was two events on in Ivy House on the night of the 27th of June. There was a state dinner, which was being hosted by Taoiseach Lamass and his wife. And then, and there was 80 people at that. And then there was another, about 400 people attended a reception in Ivy House just after the state dinner. So there were two actual food events on the night. One of them was the dinner, and that was 80 people. That was catered by the Russell Hotel. And then the Civil Service Dining Club catered for the 400 odd people who attended the reception after the dinner.
So it's like the afters of a wedding.
Yeah,
so the 80 people
like
are, you're very important, and the other 400, you're very important. You're not that important.
That's
not
it.
Important enough to be in the room.
That's
so
it.
What's the Civil Service dining?
Well, that was a really kind of interesting thing that I discovered with the research, was because there wasn't an awful lot I wasn't able to find out an awful lot about it initially. The Civil Service Dining Club was set up in 1950, and it was actually set up as a club in order to provide eating facilities for civil servants and a place for them to have events and social functions in the evenings and that. And they were located at number 30, Earlsford Terrace, just around the corner from Ivy House. So for all intents and purposes, it looked like they were very separate buildings. But in fact, the interesting point was that there was a special door and a service lift which gave them, they had a little ace up their sleeve, if you like, it gave them access directly to the ballroom landing of Ivy House. So they had a little bit of a plus compared to all the other caterers who would cater in Ivy House.
And in, literally, and in,
absolutely,
into it.
Yeah.
So would JFK, how much influence would he have on it? Because you said the Russell, or his aides,
yeah,
you said the Russell Hotel had one of the menus, and they, I understand that they prepared a menu.
That's
but then
right.
the JFK people, his people, went, he prefers something
sure,
a little
sure,
simpler.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it would be very typical for an event like that for somebody so important coming. There would be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, if you like, about all the different details, you know, dietary requirements, whether there were particular items that somebody liked. There's a, you know, in 2012, there was a name put on this. It's called culinary diplomacy, whereby states actually make a very big deal about finding out about the dietary requirements of guests, and because, you know, the idea is that we enhance relationships through food. So the more care we give to how we entertain or feed or prepare a menu or a dinner for somebody means that we actually hold them in quite high esteem. So at the time, the Russell Hotel suggested two menus, and the Department of External Affairs would have shown that to Kennedy's aides. And he'd had quite a busy time, you know, and he'd had the garden party and he'd been out during the day and that. And it was an evening event. So they said that he would probably like lighter fare and not to have it too elaborate, too refined, something nice and light on the system so that when he left Ivy House that night, he wouldn't feel too full.
Yeah, because his nocturnal activity sometimes required him to have energy, shall we say, and not to feel too heavy. And would he have concentrated on all Irish produce at that point?
Well, I didn't actually find anything to confirm that point. But I suppose really what was the big deal at the time was the fact that French chefs enjoyed such an amazing reputation in the 50s and 60s in Ireland at the time within the restaurant industry. But I would imagine that because they would have been using local suppliers, that a lot of it would have been Irish produce, but there wouldn't have been an actual concentration on making sure that we do use Irish suppliers, whereas that was the case for the Queen's visit.
So what is the actual procedure on the night? I love all these little rules and all these strange
little
rules.
The little protocols and everything.
So Dev wasn't at it. Do we know why Dev wasn't at it?
Yeah, well, you know, he had hosted the garden party.
Okay, right.
So protocol would dictate that as, you know, the head of the state, that he wouldn't be at, you know, a dinner being hosted by the Taoiseach.
Right, okay.
So that's really just protocol, just state protocol that would have decided that he wouldn't be there on the night.
And is it like the most complicated wedding plan ever in that? How do you decide who sits where at that?
Well, I mean, you know, like any event, you would have to take into consideration political and social issues at the time, who gets on with who, you know, who's, what is the rank and precedence and hierarchy of all of the different people that are going to be there. And they would have worked on that quite a bit. And in, you can actually see on the table plans, there's quite a few different versions and, you know, who's going to be sitting where. And there's, you know, some are ticked, some have got little question marks beside them. So it was actually worked on for quite a bit before it actually went ahead.
Because they're the two big things you want to avoid. The first one is if someone is allergic to something, like you said, can you imagine if you're trying to bring somebody over and they get anaphylactic shock and then they're allergic to nuts?
I know, for instance, with the Queen's visit, the brief was, for instance, no shellfish was part of that brief, because that's just protocol now. It's standard. There's no shellfish served at all. And it's just to avoid any issue like that. But shellfish, not using shellfish is just standard these days.
And the other one would be don't put somebody beside somebody that they hate and don't get on.
That's
well
right.
I assume always. Mr. Kennedy, like I know him, was placed top table
that's
in the middle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then who was beside?
He would have had the host and the hostess on either side. So that would have been Taoiseach Lamass and Mrs. Lamass on either side. And then it would have gone down in rank of precedence.
But she has an interesting influence in affairs here, Mrs. Lamass, because it's It's when she stands up, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. You see, the thing is an event like that, whereas it might look like, you know, to the outsider that it's all gone off, you know, without a hitch and, you know, there's been... It's all very, very choreographed. And the idea was at 9:30 by the host, and this is typical in any type of event and kind of big event, is that when the host gets up from the table, that kind of signals the end of the meal to everybody. And at 9:30, Mrs. Lammas, according to Protocol 5, was to get up from the table and that would signal to the diners and everybody else that they could also leave the table. And that was the end of the dinner.
So that was her overarching power. She just stands up at the end. You were all dismissed at that point. But it didn't all entirely go perfectly smoothly, did it? Because he didn't just eat all the beef and the spuds and all the rest. He was to be presented with something else, wasn't he?
That's right, yes. Chef Pierre Roland, who was the head chef at the Russell Hotel at the time.
Father of Alan of Roland. The
grandfather.
He's the, of who's Alan the rugby. Roland.
That's correct, yes.
Referee.
Yes. He had prepared a pastillage sculpture of the boat, the PT boat, on which JFK had served during the war.
Now explain what a pastillage is.
Pastillage is a sugar sculpture. It's made from icing sugar and egg whites.
Obviously,
and
I mean, I know what it was. I was just for our listeners.
Course,
so I grew up making
course,
them at home.
Of course.
Making them, yeah.
It is like a paste, it's like a dough, and you have very little time actually to roll it out and work it. And once it sets a little bit like concrete. It's quite hard wearing. And he had made a pastillage of the PT boat that that JFK had served on during the Second World War. And he had apparently tumbled and fallen in the days previous. And his grandson told me that he was on, that Chef Roland was on crutches on the day Ivy House, kind of directing
and
affairs.
Dropped it.
And no, he didn't drop it.
Oh, he just
But he had
it.
His son. No. He had his son, who was the pastry chef.
Oh, okay.
In the Russell Hotel, Henry Roland. He had him present it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that fascinating insight into what was an epic visit that everybody remembers and they know where they were when it happened. Thanks a million, Lynn.
Thank you very much.